The job of shepherd has never been one that people kind of wanted. It was one of those things that you passed down, and it was a necessity. If you are in a land full of sheep, if that's literally how your people feed themselves, how they find clothing for themselves, what they trade for other things, someone has to do that job, and it's a dirty, hard job to do. And oftentimes it went down to the youngest of a family, of a large family of boys. And of course, that's where David ends up certainly being probably the most famous shepherd that we have in the Old Testament. But there are other shepherds too. My reading from Ezekiel reminds us that God puts himself in that position, that God is ultimately the shepherd of the people Israel. So already from the beginning, before we have David, we certainly do have this idea of the people of Israel being the sheep, God's sheep, and God being their shepherd. And so that's why the reading from Ezekiel is so helpful. And there's a reason for the reading of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. And I'll talk about that in a moment or so. The idea of a shepherd making his sheep lie down in green pastures and leading them beside still waters is a wonderful thing to contemplate, especially in these busy times in our lives. As I was looking at that word to start with, he maketh me to lie down. You know, I was reminded of when I was a child and I wanted to have fun and it was getting late at night. And my father would maketh me to lie down. You didn't want to lie down, but your parents would maketh you to lie down.
Bummer.
And again, it's one of those things that you know, your parents, your father, your mother, they know when you're tired. They know when you should be sleeping. And so God sometimes maketh us to lie down as we grow older. You may find that God maketh you to lie down in the afternoon at some point, sometime in the early evening. And it's only because your body needs that. Your body simply needs that. If you just kind of ran on adrenaline alone, you will crash and burn at some point. But it is nice when, perhaps, again, a parent or someone who loves you maketh you to lie down. And hopefully you have someone around you that when you're overstressed or overtired or overworked, that person taps you on the shoulder and says, honey, you need to lay down for a bit. Because I know how hard you've been working. You know, you need to take a break here. Maybe if it's only 20 minutes. Some people talk about power naps. I don't know. My power naps are a little bit longer than that. An hour is good. 2 hours can be really good. Although it does mean that sometimes later in the evening I want to do things and everyone else is asleep. But this idea of a God who makes us to lie down. And where does God make us to lie down? He makes us to lie down in green pastures. There are not a lot of green pastures around Israel. There's not a lot of places for sheep where they can have the kind of care and the food and drink that they really do need. So these are special places. These are special places. Green pastures are hard to come by. And sometimes as I think about our lives together in Christ, sometimes green pastures are kind of hard to come by. You know, you're knee-deep in work, you've got family problems, perhaps you're working on a project of some sort. Not a lot of green pastures immediately by you. And so it's nice to think of green pastures. I mean, certainly outside these walls, we'll see some more green very shortly. You know, we're moving towards spring. You're going to see a lot more green. And it won't be very long before some of you will be cutting that green with lawnmowers. Some of you are thinking about that. Now, this business of green pastures, what a wonderful thought that is. We hear a little bit of it from Ezekiel when he says, a good grazing land, they'll feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. It almost makes you want to go to Israel to see that. There aren't that many places like that, but you can see it some places. We're blessed in our area. We're blessed certainly in Pennsylvania. There are a lot of green places in Pennsylvania. Certainly in our area, there are a lot of places where you can see spring coming. You can literally see the colors changing before your eyes. And if all else fails, you can always go a little further down towards Lancaster and stuff and just see places that are lush. You know, I tend to think of those Pennsylvania Germans, when they were coming to Pennsylvania, their eyes must have just about bulged out of their heads when they saw some of this area. Now, granted, there were more trees there back in the day, but you know, it was verdant land. It was rich soil. It was awful. freshly green, even undisturbed by human hands. And again, this idea of make me to lie down in green pastures, it's just a beautiful scene. And for us as people, we need to lay down sometimes. We need to lay down in places that are safe and that are lush and that are comfortable. I don't know about your bedrooms. I don't want to know about your bedrooms. Really don't. But your bedroom should be a place where you can just lie down comfortably, you know, where you don't have to worry about things. I mean, I've got thin eyelids. Here's a sharing too much, but I've got thin eyelids, and once the sun comes up, it's hard for me to stay asleep. Unless I've got curtains on there that are pretty thick, I'm awake pretty quick. So for me, in my bedroom, I need really thick curtains because when the sun comes up, I start getting awake. But your bedroom should be a place of refuge. It really should be. Where you can close your eyes and know you're safe and warm and you don't have to worry about anything. You know? A place where you can put some of your problems behind you. Whatever it takes to do that is really helpful. I think sometimes we don't put a much, you know, people will talk about their kitchens and their bathrooms. Bedrooms are pretty important. You know, your bed should help you to lie down. As God would make it you to lie down, you should lie down in a way that makes you comfortable and happy and peaceful. And I want to bring you to the next portion of Scripture, to the "He leadeth me beside still waters." Curiously, you know, I looked some of this stuff up. Curiously, there's not a lot of still water talk in the Old Testament. There really isn't. There are places of refuge. There's certainly the 46th Psalm, which says, "Be still and know that I am God." This kind of stillness of the Old Testament. You don't have too much of it there. There's nothing really about still waters. And when you think about it, I don't know, does that kind of, do you see still waters very often? I tend to think, you know, Pennsylvania is full of moving waters. You know, creeks and rivers and things that move, and you can see them moving. But the stillness of waters, I think that's something that doesn't happen very often here in Pennsylvania. I don't know how often it happens in Israel. At least one of the Bible commentaries and devotionals I've been given talks about the fact that sheep are not great swimmers. You've got this big heavy wool coat on. If you want to try it, put on a heavy coat and try to swim across a body of water, especially when it's moving. Sheep don't do that. They don't like that. It's dangerous. If sheep are going to cross a body of water, it's got to be a place where it's still. Or even better, a place where it's dry, where they can kind of cross over the top and they don't actually have to get their feet wet. But this need for still waters is something that sheep in particularly need. They need to be able to cross somewhere where it's not going to sweep them aside and pull them away. Those tiny little sheep feet and legs certainly don't hold onto the rocks very well. And so perhaps a place of still waters, a place of refuge, a place that reminds you of home. I don't know what your home is like. I didn't grow up near where there was still waters. But there was a certain stillness to where I grew up. You know? Sometimes you had to wait until everyone was at home and everyone parked their car. But, you know, on a spring night or perhaps even a summer night, there wasn't a lot of movement. There was a certain stillness in the air. We had a reservoir beyond the fence. It was the water company's reservoir. And if you needed to get into the reservoir, you could. You knew where the holes in the fence were. It wasn't that hard. And so if you wanted to see still waters, yes, there was still waters there. But we didn't go there very often. It was just nice to know that it existed. And go fishing. That's another story entirely. When we talk about Galilean fishermen, I think I'll bring that up. My fishing talents are pretty limited. But this idea of refuge and haven and home, as we grow older, that becomes more important to us, doesn't it? You know, some of the things we want when we're younger might be excitement, might be bright lights. My wife watches one of those HGTV shows with houses on it, people buying houses and fixing houses. And the people that go to foreign countries, they're younger people, they want to move to a foreign country where there's lots of nightlife and action. And I think to myself, I'm not too excited about going to a foreign country And I'm not too excited about nightlife in foreign countries where I don't necessarily speak the language too well. So other places attract me, places that perhaps are quieter, are perhaps more like holiday places, places you would go in the mountains, in the desert, you know, something like that. Something where your neighbor is not kind of looking over your shoulder. Maybe that's something that attracts a lot of us, this idea of a refuge, a haven, kind of a home where we can be safe. That's exactly the kind of place that the shepherd wants his sheep to be, in a place near still waters, where they can relax, where they don't feel threatened, where they can close their eyes if someone maketh them to lie down, and if they need to get a drink of water, it's not very far away. This business of water is also kind of important in the Old Testament. Water itself is life. In Israel, water is life. And so when Jesus talks to the woman at the well, you know, he's talking not only about the water in the well, but he's also talking about the stuff that makes people alive. She's talking about water that kind of fills the body and allows it to live. He's talking about water that fills the spirit and allows it to fully be alive. There are people who are alive or who live who aren't necessarily alive. They live, their body functions, they move from place to place. They're not really alive. Their spiritual life is very lacking. Jesus is talking about living water that gushes up to eternal life. He's talking about spiritual water. And that's the kind of water we get through Jesus Christ. Indeed, we're blessed when we're able to hear God's word. And I'm blessed by being able to share it with you this evening. This last part that is part of our topic for this evening, he restoreth my soul. Even sheep can be worn down. It's hard to imagine a sheep that's worn down. But I suspect if someone drives you hard, or if you don't have good food to eat, or you don't have water to drink, you can be a pretty listless, tired sheep. You may even forget exactly what your instincts tell you to do. Your instincts would say, it's now time to rest, but you're kind of moving around. Your instincts may say, it's time to be wary, and you just want to close your eyes. This idea of restoring your soul is about restoring your identity, who you are. And if you wear animals down, they forget who they are. They do some pretty erratic things. Maybe you have had pets like that. They've just been really tired or sick, and they just do something that doesn't make any sense at all based on whom they are. People can be like that too. Maybe you've met some people, maybe you know some people who've just been worn down or wore out, and they're not acting like themselves anymore. Kind of part of their identity is missing. Maybe part of their soul is missing too. Not that they're eternal life is gone, but the idea of who they are, their very being, has been partially erased by circumstances perhaps beyond their control. I was reading this last portion of scripture and thinking to myself, God, the Good Shepherd, allows the sheep to be exactly who the sheep are, which may not mean much to you as human beings, but it is to say that sheep need to be sheep. God has made them to be sheep. God gives them back. The Good Shepherd gives them back their identity. They get to do the things they need to do. They are themselves again. And for us, we need the same thing. We need to be ourselves. We need to be exactly whom God has made us to be. We need our spirit. We need our personality. We need our identity. And we can't allow life to wear us down. How much do we need a shepherd? We need a shepherd who restores our soul so that when we're worn down, we can be renewed and refreshed and be returned to who God has made us to be. That may seem kind of obvious. I don't know. I hear so many stories of people who are burnt out. But the same thing applies to people who are worn down. They're not who they should be. They're someone different. Life has had their way with them. How nice to have a shepherd who brings us to a place of safety, allows us to sleep when we need to sleep, to drink water from a source that is clean and fresh and still, and ultimately, through this process, allows us to become who we are, who God has made us to be. All of us are different. I'm not you, you're not me. God has made you special and unique for a purpose. And God wants you to be you. God does not want you to be me. I always think about a piece of scripture. It's a tiny piece, and I can't even tell you exactly where it is, except it's in the epistles. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not Christ being Christ. It's not Christ you acting like Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The idea of incarnation, that Christ is in you, the hope, and through him you have the hope of glory. So Christ works in me. I'm not like Jesus. You probably have noticed that. Seriously, it doesn't take a lot to figure that out. I've had people say, but you're not acting like Jesus did. And I said, that's because I'm not Jesus. But Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ working in me and through me is my hope of glory. And so I'll never be Jesus. But I can be Pastor Mike Petreski with the Holy Spirit working inside me. And that'll be something different than whoever you are with the Holy Spirit working inside you. And that's fine, because God has made us all different for a purpose. He's made us unique so that we can do special things. Some of you can do things that I can't even explain. I have considerably less musical skills than Justin does. God bless you. I will never be able to play the piano. If you'd like to see me play the piano now, I will show you that I don't have those skills. It's funny as I say that, because I remember when I was in college, there was a piano there, and I was plunking away on it, and someone thought I was actually playing pretty good, but you have to remember it was at a party, and so... Wow, can you play the piano? Sure! Wow, you play really well! Thank you very much! So, Christ in you, the hope of glory, you know? A sheep can be glorious when a sheep is a sheep doing, following a shepherd. That's all God wants. Be the sheep that God has made you to be. Be as unique as you are. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, just follow the shepherd along the way. He will bless you. He will bring you to a place of green pastures. You can lie beside the still waters, and in the process, your soul will be restored. And frankly, it doesn't get much better than that. But as we follow along with the 23rd Psalm, we'll hear other things which also are a blessing. Let us be willing sheep to a loving shepherd. Let us trust in him, especially when things are hard. And let us believe in him, especially when the world says, you're crazy. This is a silly thing. You need to take care of yourselves. Don't worry about other people. Find your own path. You're a dynamic human being. Go your own way. Let's follow the shepherd. I think it'll be a blessing to us. Thanks be to God. Amen.